Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, hello, everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and welcome to another edition of our Life by Life West. It's our weekly or bi-weekly podcast, webcast, all kinds of cast. I'm here with my cast, my crew, my significant everything, Dr. Mary Oberstein. Hi, Mary. Good to see you.
Hi. Good. How are you?
I'm doing good since I saw you this morning at whatever time I rolled out of bed to go work out. But we don't have to go there. We have a very good friend of ours, someone we've known for many, many, many years. I won't say we knew you in diapers because we didn't know you at that point, but we've known you for so many years. We have Dr. Phil Dieter with us coming from San Jose. Phil, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. It's so great to have you. And I'm going to tell the folks a little bit about you, and it will not be a eulogy. Okay. This is going to be, it's going to be like more of an intro kind of deal. If it gets to be a eulogy, just start playing the bagpipes. But so Dr. Phil, first of all, he's a Cairo kid. And he grew up in San Jose. His father, Dr. Carl Dieter, we just had a 50th in practice party for him back in November, just before Thanksgiving. And obviously, Phil grew up as a Cairo kid, graduated, came to Life West, graduated in 2006. Left Life West the day he graduated and went right to practice that same day in for his dad. And as things turned out, eventually kind of rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled. And then now Dr. Phil owns that practice, and his father is now his associate, along with a few other associates. And they're looking for a fourth associate. He's expanded his empire from that main practice into two practices now, one in San Jose, one in Morgan Hill. And he's just a doer. I mean, I'm just going to give you a short list of the things. Number one, he's been involved in Cal Cairo. That's our California Chiropractic Association, where he was head of the political action committees, always at Capitol Hill. He knows everybody by name. I swear to God, I think you learned from Dr. Sid, or it must have rubbed off on you on that. But he has just done so much stuff, raising money, doing all kinds of things. Now he's the president of Cal Cairo, which is super, super exciting. And along with that, you know, he's on the Life West Alumni Board. He teaches at the college. But probably his biggest claim to fame is his wife of 12 years and his beautiful daughter, or 14 years, I should say, and beautiful daughter of 12 years. And he's got a wonderful family, and he is a family man. And I have to tell you, he's truly a chiropractic warrior, and somebody that I know Mary and I, we talked about this after we left, you know, Carl's 50th, you know, that it's just nice to know that people like Phil are going to be around, you know, when your father and us have dirt on us, you know, you'll be carrying the torch and doing that. So thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing, and great, great stuff.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Was that a eulogy or was that more of an introduction?
No, that was perfect. At least it wasn't a roast. I was worried.
We don't have enough dirt on you for a roast.
We can dig it up pretty quick, I think.
We probably could. Well, can I jump in first? Because, you know, typically we ask, I love hearing people's story of how chiropractic found them or how they found chiropractic. And being a Cairo kid, a lot of times people just think like, oh, you just knew you were going to be a chiropractor from 2 years old. Yeah. And that might be the case, but I don't know your story. So I kind of want to hear like what your path was like and when you decided.
Absolutely. You know, like you said, I grew up in the office, right? I was answering the phones when I was Abby's age, you know, taking appointments and, you know, checking people out and all those kind of things. So I always had this kind of thought in my mind that, man, it'd be really cool to be a chiropractor. But, you know, as time goes on, you start doing other things, playing sports and all that. And I went to undergraduate school, and I was really more set on becoming a lawyer. You know, that was something my dad had even said, oh, you might want to become a lawyer. You know, it sounds like you can really raise money and go, you know, rally the crowd kind of thing, right? And so I did that, and I had actually been in a political science major and didn't even go into chiropractic originally at an undergraduate school, but got to the point in my life where I was making good money, but I really wasn't, I didn't feel fulfilled. You know, I didn't feel like I was serving my mission and my purpose and those kind of things. And I was on a sales call one day, and I went into that exact office that you're sitting in right now, Ron, and talked to Jerry Klum, mm-hmm. and asked him, you know, you got any jobs at the college that I could do, you know, kind of thing. And he's like, well, you could get into recruitment. But I was like, well, it's, I'm not making as much money as I would be doing what I'm doing in the sales arena. So I tried to see if I could get like tuition in lieu of compensation or something like that. And he told me, well, if you really want to be a chiropractor, you better think about it, because I don't think you'll be able to do this job and that job and get educated at the same time. And so I went up, I went about trying to prove him wrong, you know, really. And I was working part-time jobs, driving a limo, I was a bouncer, doing all these things and going to school. And I think the moment that really, like, I feel like I turned the corner, I was in Jim Hawkins' physiology class. Yeah. And, you know, I'd been working like a late night or something like that at the bar, and I was kind of dozing away, and we're studying the kidneys or something like that. And he goes, Dieter, come up to me after class. I need to talk to you or something like that. Right. And I, he's like, well, you're dozing off of my class. I'm like, well, you know, I told him my whole story. He goes, hey, you better figure out how to get your priorities straight, you know, kind of thing. Right. And I would say at that moment, I stopped doing all the other stuff, and I really committed myself to chiropractic. And it was probably shortly thereafter where I was just like, man, this human body, this whole chiropractic thing is so fascinating. There's so much to learn. And I just really became entrenched in like wanting to learn more and committing myself to the whole process.
Yeah. Yeah. But here you are. I mean, listen, growing up, you know, like you just said, I mean, you know, your dad was chair of the board for 28 years, right? Of Jerry's 30 years, right?
Yeah.
So the first 2 years he wasn't chair because he, you know, he was there when Jerry retired. And, yeah. and, you know, you know, like, you know, Dr., you know, Jerry Klum, Sid Williams, you know, I can go down the list of people, right? Dee Dee Umber, you know, Sigafoos, Grassam, all these people who, you know, you were either saw at seminars or did whatever, were at your house, whatever it was. And, you know, like, you kind of know that to you, they weren't big shots.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so blessed and I'm so grateful to have been around these people growing up, even like yourselves, you know, and I, this worldview that we have is so unique. You know, I've often been like the unicorn in the room where it's like, well, don't you get chiropractic? Or, you know, everybody gets chiropractic, right? And so it's been a little unique growing up that way, but I'm so grateful for it. And as I now I'm in this environment and I see how other people approach the world and just life and health and well-being and all those kind of things, I'm even more grateful now to have been exposed to these folks, because they're like, what's going on with this guy? What is he doing? Why does he think like that? And I'm like, well, you know, that's the people that I was around, right? They had that positive mindset. They had that approach to the world and life and health, like I said, and it's so unique. I'm so grateful for it. So now I feel like compelled to help share that with other people even more so.
Absolutely. Mary, when we were at, in, you know, back in November, when we were over at the 50th party for Carl, what I learned at that, you know, because I knew Carl would always spit out one-liners, but what I learned was your whole family grew up with one-liners, right?
Oh, man, we've been getting them for years.
Share with me your top four.
Oh, gosh. The work works when wishing won't. That's probably the one that, you know, comes to the top of the mind, you know. And the above down, inside out, like that's something literally that we've been hearing since we were born, I think. And, you know, we hear it all the time. You know, my dad always says, when your ass is up to alligators, you learn how to drain the swamp. And that's really what, when you get into this business, you know, you figure out, okay, payroll's due in 10 days. So you got to figure out how to make sure payroll's made. That's probably one of the other ones that always resonates with me. But how many was that? That was three. You put me on the spot now. He always says, if you're happy, tell your face, you know, because if you're not smiling, that's one of those other ones where sometimes just smiling makes you happier. It makes you laugh, right? And that changes your whole mindset and your whole viewpoint, right?
I love it. And you guys, the three of you grew up with this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and, you know, taking care of people regardless of their condition to pay or their, you know, whatever, regardless of their condition or their ability to pay. I think that's one that's always resonated with me, too. Yeah. And, you know, just like going on mission trips, right? You go into those arenas and, you know, you put yourself in a neighborhood that, it's like a war-torn community or something like that. And just passing out flyers to help expose people to chiropractic, that's where it comes from. Going to people's homes and like in the trailer park to adjust somebody in the recliner because they couldn't get out. And now people are like, you did what? Did a house call, right?
Yeah,
But it
and I
humbles you.
think it's important for the younger docs and the graduates and the students to hear these stories, because if they don't hear them, like that's then they just don't know what's possible, you
It's
know?
that mindset of service first, I think, that
Yeah.
resonates with me so much. If you think you're having a bad day or something's going wrong in your life, find people to serve and serve them
That's right.
and do whatever it takes, to help that other person, and that will lift you up in turn. And I think that's been the guiding principle in everything that he's taught us. And so that's
So
how we
I
grow.
have a question for you. I know it's kind of this kind of from like left field, but you teach, you're a teacher at Life West. Do you talk about this stuff with the students? I know you teach business, which
And
this.
that's why I went in, I asked to move into the business curriculum. I was originally teaching anatomy because that's kind of where I cut my teeth, and I was so scientific minded. When you talk about the science, the art, and the philosophy of chiropractic, I mean, certainly I've been exposed to the philosophy of chiropractic my whole life, right? But I was a very I'm an analytical guy, and so I was science based, went into the anatomy curriculum, and I am so grateful for that because I can talk anatomy with anybody, medical doctors, you name it. I can talk anatomy and insertion, origin, all of that stuff anytime. But I started thinking to myself, that I wanted to figure out how I could help people be more successful, not only in their practices, but in their lives and that kind of thing. And that's where I feel like, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to do that is because I wanted to bring that mindset to people. I wasn't seeing sometimes that they were embracing that, right? And could I do that more? And so now we have whole modules in our curriculum, the office procedures class in particular, which is like one of the last classes they take, where we talk about, how your mindset contributes to your ability to attract people into your life, right? And
That's
how
great.
healing, how the heal process of healing is more than just what you do to them or what you do, more so what you do for them, right? And so, yeah, I'm trying to bring that into the
That's great.
classroom all the time.
That's great because you know what the truth is that's really what being a doctor is,
Of course.
it's not the mechanical process, it's the what's behind it. As BJ
Right.
called it, that something, right? It's that something. Phil, I want to ask you something because you're talking about business, and what I didn't share when I introduced you is, and you're still doing the business stuff, dude. When you said when you came and sat with Jared before you were a student saying, I'm doing this, I'm a bouncer on this and this and this. I mean, you're still doing it, which is great because that's how you're keeps you busy, keeps you involved and stuff. You started something around getting students as a hiring as associates, trying to bridge that gap between DCs and graduates, right? To bring them together. And I want to ask you, not so much about specifically that, but about the landscape, right? The employment landscape that's out there. And because you're on the pulse of that, what are you seeing?
Yeah. Well, I started seeing in the class that so many students wanted to go to work for people or become an associate, right? And then on the other side, we had all of these people that were looking to hire. But oftentimes, the people looking to hire didn't even know what it meant to be an employer, right? Like, how many hours does this person need to be a full-time employee? What's an independent contractor versus an actual employee, right? And we have seen this so often, in chiropractic, where it's, oh, I'm just going to bring somebody in and treat them as an independent contractor, or we'll do a 50-50 split or something like that, right? And then on the other side of it, students going into an environment where they don't even have an expectation of what it's like to be an employee in many cases, and they're so afraid to go work for somebody who's just going to take advantage of them. And so I've been trying to bridge that gap by talking to people on both sides of the conversation, right? And then educating them about that and really setting expectations and trying to take care of the new graduates or the students in ways that ultimately they don't even know the questions to ask for themselves sometimes. And that, that's one of the things that I've tried to provide for students, new graduates, and now chiropractors in many different walks of life. So that's really the approach that I've taken. It's such an interesting scenario. They say there's four job opportunities for every one graduate right now. But being an employer is so much more than just being a chiropractor and saying, hey, you come into my office, I'll give you a space and you figure it out on your own, right? You need to have a training program in place. Well, first of all, you need to have a recruitment plan in place to bring top level graduates in. who do the things that they do, you know, that we do at Life West in terms of having good adjusting skills, right? Learning about the philosophy in chiropractic. You don't know how often people tell me they want a graduate or an employee who understands the philosophical foundation of chiropractic. And I think that's one of the unique things about our institution is that not everybody's getting that, you know, in other learning environments, right? Good, bad, or indifferent. And so I see that as important to people out there in the marketplace that are looking to hire.
Sam, I want to share, let me jump in real quick, because sure. I don't think that on both sides, employers and graduates necessarily know the value, even the dollar value of what's there. You know, I can't tell you how many people and how many docs out there really don't need an associate.
Possibly, yeah.
But they want one, right?
What they're really saying is, I want somebody to come in, take over my practice, and pay me whatever I want for it when I'm ready to walk away from it, right? But the students have sniffed that out. The new graduates have sniffed that out. And so there's this disconnect that's going on. And so one of the things that, you know, I will talk with people all the time and really vet them to say, hey, are you really wanting someone to come in and be a true employee or a true associate? And if they do, then okay, great. Here's how we move forward, right? I'm a big advocate of like personality profiles, because that tells you, you know, are you a promoter? Are you a producer? Are you more results oriented? I like the DISC profile. Are you familiar with that one? Yeah. Love the DISC profile, because that helps. I love the Colby A index. That tells you, you know, your decision-making style, those kind of things. So, you know, students and new graduates, if you haven't taken those, go do them for yourself. You know, figure out what you're all about, because maybe you're more inclined to go open your own practice, right? It's going to be probably leaner times in the beginning, and you're going to have to figure out some things as you go. But in the long run, you're going to be happier because you built it for yourself, right? And so I think that's some of the interesting things that I've come across, you know, just as simple as knowing what minimum wage is. And if you're a full-time salaried employee, that you got to make twice the minimum wage. A lot of chiropractors don't understand that from the perspective. Or like I said, offering benefits, you know, what does your state law require? All of those kind of things. So bring some light to those conversations. And I think we have such a great opportunity for people at Life West because of the way that you have set up the preceptor programs and the clinic experience. Like, students can literally go in to an office environment and get a lot of that experience. And the on the employer side, they can bring in Life West graduates who get this opportunity to go out into the marketplace and really figure out what they're about, what they stand for, what kind of techniques do they like. And we have so many techniques that we're exposed to at Life West. That's another great blessing out there that, you know, people don't even realize the kind of exposure that you get to technique at Life West and things like that. So it's really a differentiating factor for our graduates and for our community that I think is so exciting.
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like this has been a long-standing problem that we've had. Of just like, you know, kind of we talked about a lot of DCs reaching out. I know for us, Ron and I, they reach out like, I'm looking for an associate. What do I do?
Yeah.
Right. And there's so many steps there. When we were hiring associates, I mean, I feel like we looked for someone who was passionate and teachable.
Yeah.
We didn't care if they didn't have the philosophy. We taught it to them.
I love the humble, hungry, and smart concept that Patrick Lencioni talks about, you know, in his player.
You're like bridging the gap, though, but like you're teaching people how to hire associates. So I think it's genius.
And I think the piece of the puzzle that it's all about the, you become a manager, right? They, you know, Frank Savinsky used to talk about how, you know, you've got to work on your practice or in your practice, right? And so everybody that's built their own business knows what it's like to work in your practice, right? You figured it out. You figured out how to get people in, you figured out how to take care of them, you figured out how to get them to, you know, utilize chiropractic as part of their lifestyle. But now when you're asking yourself, okay, I want to expand my business or I want to bring on an associate, now it's a matter of, well, how do I work on my practice, right? You have to become that manager. So I have to have regular team meetings on a weekly basis. I have to have a training plan and process to get them up to speed with how we do things here in this office. Because if one person's doing one thing in their practice and another person's doing another thing, well, then that's not a synergistic environment. You're really running two practices, and maybe you're sharing staff, which could be okay. But from an employer-employee relationship, that doesn't tend to work. And when that mismatch expectation gets brought to light, that's where people attrition out of the practice, or they have, you know, they don't have a good experience, and then they're moving on to the next office. And God forbid they get to the point where they're like, man, this chiropractic thing's not really working out for me. And so that's not good for any of us in the profession, right?
And it's never chiropractic. You know what? You said it earlier, Phil. You know, truthfully, if the doctor knows exactly what they're looking for, which they need to be clear on,
right?
Because, you know, like you said, they think they want an associate, but really what they're looking for is someone, a succession plan, someone to buy them out, right? And that's fine. But that needs to be stated. Then you have to find that right person, right? Or they don't need an associate. You know, maybe what they need is an intern, but not an associate, because they're not busy enough, right? Or they need an independent contractor, but not pull them down. You know, I've had doctors, you know, come to me over the years saying, I want to get an associate. And I'm just thinking to myself, dude, they're not going to thrive, just to myself, they're not going to thrive in your practice because you're not thriving and you're not in love with what you're doing, you know.
Right.
But what they're looking for is someone just to fill a seat, someone to be with them, you know.
Share rent.
Sometimes misery likes company kind of deal, yeah. Right? And so I really think, and same thing on the student side, like, what do you want to do? A student might say, you know what, I have a family. You know, I don't want to start a practice right now, but this is what I want to do. You know, I want to be able to show up. I want to be there. I work 6 days a week, you know, whatever it is, you know, and they need to know what they want to make also. You know, they need to know their value.
Yeah. So much of people's happiness is based on, well, certain of all, students have an idea of like, hey, I want to go practice in this area, whether it's whatever, San Diego or Colorado or all, you know, all of the different places, right? And I want to do this technique. So in engaging with these different parties, getting that sort of thing squared away is super important in terms of, is this going to be a successful relationship? Mm-hmm. I have found that only about 20, maybe 30% of the chiropractors out there looking to hire even have a job description. So it starts with that. Like in the corporate world, I mean, at the college, everybody's got a job description, right?
That's
like,
right.
Here's what I'm asking you to do. Here's my expectations for employment. So then you come work for me, and if you're meeting the expectations of that job description, we stay in business together. If you're not, then we don't, because they're coming to me and saying, hey, oh, so-and-so's not doing this or didn't do that. Well, did you have a job description? Did you have goals outlined? Did you have regular meeting points along the way? So running our businesses like a business becomes probably the paramount thing, you know, so that people continue to be successful.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always, you know, coming back to one of the things my dad has always said about his little quips and his saying is,
keep
you know,
your business on your mind and your mind on your business.
You got it, man. But I was going to go with the only competition I have is the 6 inches between my ears, right?
Exactly.
Because
it's exactly it. It's exactly
so oftentimes
it.
In, you know, people will come and work for you. You know, employment is a two-way street, right? And so as long as everybody's benefiting from the employment, great. But also getting to that point where if somebody's outgrown you and they want to go do their own thing, or is there a different opportunity for them that's going to make them more successful? Well, then you have my blessing, you know, this idea of, you know, non-competition clauses and things of that nature. We don't have enough chiropractors in society to take care of all the people that need chiropractic. So I'm not going to worry about all the things that you've done, how you've wronged me. Like, get out there and go serve more people. I'll figure out how to find someone else to serve people within my office, or let's get to the point where 80% of the people are getting chiropractic in the world, or in even in our communities, and then we'll worry about what the competition is, right? Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, I think this, Amira, we've talked about this. It's that step, if at least for the graduate, you know, to shift from being a graduate, like you did, you know, mm-hmm. you graduated the same day you were working, you know, your first day in the office, so to speak, being an associate. And to make that shift, not knowing or not being 100% clear on what they're looking for, is kind of like going into a delicatessen. Yeah. And you're hungry, but you don't really know what you want. So you just spend a lot of time at the menu, or you just choose one and say, that's not really what I wanted, you know, and that kind of, and so I think, you know, you hit it, man. We just got to get so clear.
Yeah.
And even though what's clear today might be different in a year, that's okay. You know, as long as there's open, honest communication, but they walk into it so it is a right match, right? You wouldn't do that in a relationship. I mean, you know, you wouldn't go and say, I'm going to devote my life to this person and I don't even know who they are, what they are. They don't know me. I don't even know what I want. Like, you know, that's not going to work, right? And it's the same thing. Chiropractic's a relationship.
I think a lot of it boils down to like an abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset too. Mm-hmm. You know, is there more than enough in the world or is there never enough? You know, kind of thing. And finding people to work with. And that's what I love about, like you said, my upbringing. I was constantly surrounded by people that had that, you know, there's more than enough, doing things to lift each other up, to serve this mission of lasting purpose and bringing chiropractic to the masses, you know, like you guys are doing right now. And I, like I said, I'm so grateful for that. And so I try to surround myself with people like that. That's the kind of people I'm trying to bring into the Chiropractic Association that have that mindset. You know, I had a great experience going to Chiro Congress last year and just being around people of other state associations that are all about lifting chiropractic up and elevating the profession. And I love that. You know, that was such an enriching experience for me because just to be around all of those kind of people, you can get drugged down by people who have that scarcity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got a question, Mary, just to let you know that you got to be my our timekeeper because my clock stopped. So just kind of keep us moving. And
25 minutes.
Okay, there you go. So I got a question for you. I just want to touch on that just real briefly because we're going to have to wrap up. But, you know, Cal Chiro, you're involved, you know, obviously politically, you know, and you've been involved. I mean, you know, you've been doing fundraising. You've been in the political action committee. You're at Capitol Hill all the time. You know them by name. They know you by name. You know, the beautiful proclamation you had for your father, you know, coming from the house over in Sacramento. I mean, just beautiful stuff. What words do you have for the people just, you know, about getting involved, not getting involved, whatever it might be?
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I want to surround myself. I want our association to be about people that want to stand up for chiropractic, that really want to stand up for themselves, that have that value. Like, I'm so grateful, like I said, to the people that have educated me in chiropractic, even, you know, the instructors that are still some of the instructors that are at the college. I owe them a great debt of gratitude to represent chiropractic in that way. And whether it's in my community or in the classroom or in the legislative arena, that's the responsibility that I feel. And I want to create an association that has the resources and provides that foundation of support for people who don't feel like that. Because, like I said, I know I'm unique and that I've had these opportunities. And the least I can do is share with them, you know, how to get to that point or provide those resources, you know, whatever it is, if they like to do the legislative stuff. I mean, we have a number of things that we're doing on the legislative front that, you know, I can share with you or I can share with them at any point in time, you know, and why I think that's important. But I think it's always about, just like in your practice, what's important to you or what's important to the patient, right? What's in it for them, right? And so I really am bound and determined to go around the state and find out, what do you need? You know, what's important to you? Is it, do you need help building your practice? Do you need help marketing? Do you need help you know, legislating against something like this? You know, we're trying to pass animal chiropractic as a law, you know, right now in California, trying to create
everywhere.
Yeah. You know, there's very few states that have that, but there's people that are getting cease and desist letters right now in the state. And it reminds me of the early 1920s, you know, when people were getting jailed for practicing
medicine without a license, practicing veterinarianism without a license.
Exactly. So,
You know what I heard you say, and I'm just going to tell you what I extrapolated. I mean, you said great stuff. You know, the hole you give through is directly proportional to the hole you receive through.
That's right.
So no matter what you do, you know, you don't have to be at legislation like you are. You could just be contributing financially. You don't have to just be contributing financially. You can also be getting involved in your local, you know, society or community or whatever it is, right? And anything that we do that we put ourselves out like that, I've never seen somebody, I've only been around 40, you know, whatever it is, 43, 44 years, but I've never seen anybody involved in the in politics, whether it's state or national politics, who didn't have success. And I'm talking about in their life, you know, because they're giving. And, you know, and I just truly believe this, that hole that you give through, proportional, and you know the giver is always going to give back as long as you're giving towards something that's right, something that's just, and something that's noble. You know, so I want to just commend you, dude. I'm so thrilled for everything that you're doing. You are inspiring.
Well, I'm intrinsically motivated, and I think you know that's one of the things I've learned. When you are intrinsically motivated by something, you'll travel whatever distance, you'll pay whatever price. You know, that's another quip that my dad gave me. And you don't get tired, you know. And people are, well, how do you do all this? And how do you make time? I mean, you make time for the things that are important to you, right? And, you know, like you said, everything goes through the lens of my family. And, you know, chiropractic is so important to me and my family. And the ability to elevate the chiropractic profession provides for my family. And so anything that I do in relationship to that naturally is something that I have to make time for, whether it's legislation, whether it's going to talk about the association down in San Diego or something like that, or getting on something like this. You figure it out in your calendar. Everybody knows that. You will make time for the things that are important for you and that you're intrinsically motivated to do. And that's what I'm all about.
Well, and I just want to say something too. It's like when you need stuff done, you ask the busiest person, which is you. But I just want to commend you too. And I hope that you continue on because you have a full calendar and a full schedule. But it's like you're in front of DCs with Cal Cairo. And I hope you never stop teaching at Life West because you're in front of students and your voice is so important right now. And because there's not too many people who have both those audiences.
Yeah.
And you're so grounded in the philosophy. I want to be president of your fan club.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. I guess I just lost mine. I don't know, man.
No, Phil, I won't say it here, but I planted a seed in your ear.
I know.
When I left the party, I did share it with Ron.
Okay.
No, but I just I want to thank
anytime,
you. I do hope you continue on in this leadership, these leadership positions. Because I think, like I said, I think your voice is really important right now.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm really grateful for all of this, upbringing and you know, what we've been able to, what I've been able to be exposed to. So I do feel that responsibility to carry it forward, kind of like Reggie said, and some of those old folks. I try not to just sit in seminars and listen to people speak and drink the Kool-Aid. But, Dr. Klum, Lauren, always tells me, man, you love that chiropractic Kool-Aid. I'm like, I know, it tastes so good.
It does, man. unlimited. You still got, 32 years.
I'm not going anywhere.
No, to reach where your dad is today.
Yeah.
You still got that time period. Hey, listen, whenever we do these Life by Life West, we always end with a couple questions. And I'm going to have Mary ask you the first question. So this is a 15 to 20 second answer. Whatever innately comes up for you, that's what we want to do. So I'm going to shoot it to Mary.
Okay. First question. If you could go back, okay, and you could stand in front of Phil.
Okay.
Just about to start first quarter at Life West, and you could stand in front of him today with all of your knowledge, what advice would you give him? First day of school.
Yeah. Be prepared for the journey, you know, prepare yourself for the journey mentally. Right. And I guess physically from the perspective of, you know, going into the classroom, the amount of hours that we go into the classroom and just diving into it wholeheartedly, you know, mind and body and spirit the way that you need to. 'Cause I was doing that academically. And like I said, I shared that story with Jim Hawkins, who I'm so grateful for too. But that moment, I'll never forget that conversation. It was so simple. Like, sounds like you better get your priorities straight, right? And I took that to heart, and I did. And, you know, here I am.
It's funny. I thought you were going to say to yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Get rid of that night job.
Oh, yeah.
That was Jim Hawkins. All right, I got question number two. Same scenario. You are where you are right now, but now you're going to speak to Dr. Phil Dieter, who just graduated.
Okay.
With what you know right now, what advice, what one pearl of advice would you give to that new graduate, Dr. Phil Dieter?
You got to be ready to commit yourself wholeheartedly to building your business and finding and serving people. You know, my dad talks about burning the boats, right? You know, you can't have that that back door. You can't have a second option. It's not just a good idea to be a chiropractor. You have to be fully committed to making this work by any means necessary, right? And that's where the philosophy of chiropractic comes in as the foundation, right? And embracing these concepts of lasting purpose and finding people to serve and serving people out of your abundance and all the things that we talk about and that kind of thing. Because when you do that, right, you will travel whatever distance, you will pay whatever price, you'll do whatever's necessary. If you got to show up on a Saturday morning to take care of people, you do that. If you got to do payroll at midnight on the road, you'll do that. Nothing seems like it's too much to ask, right? And I think that's what I gotta figure out. We've got to figure out just to how to communicate that to a new generation, right? That's grown up differently. They have different work-life balance, and I appreciate where they're coming from, but we got to do the work that's necessary when it's necessary to be done.
Absolutely. And they have just as many lessons to teach us as
Absolutely.
we have to teach them.
That's true.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Phil, man. You are truly a treasure, and we as a profession are blessed to have you. And I know, Mary, I can speak for you. We look forward to seeing everything that where your trajectory is going. 18 years, brother, you're just starting, man.
No.
You just got your black belt. That's when it all started, right? 20 years, and then that's when it really happens.
right.
Cool. And thank you, Mary, again, for co-hosting. It's so great to see you. And as
You
any
too.
time I get with you during the day is like a blessing for me. You know that. Sometimes I just call her and say, just say something, and thank you to our audience, man. Thank you for coming in week after week. We drop these every other week. The opposite weeks, we drop our Life West leadership line. And it's because of you spreading the word and sharing, what we're doing and giving it to your friends and letting them hear. Dr. Phil dropped some cool pearls of wisdom that I know I get to go back and re-listen to it and be able to write down some notes and take those. But there are people who want to know about being an associate. There are people who want to know about what do I need to do to hire. People who just need a little bit of that juice or that fire to get going. And it might be that one-liner that he said today, off of his father, that might just stir that. So thank you, for really sharing this. And just be, from Dr. Phil, Dr. Mary, and myself, we just want to let you know that this 2025 is already taking off. It's going to be phenomenal. And just keep hugging those people around you and loving everybody that you're serving. And just remember to tell them and ourselves that we are much more powerful than we were ever led to believe. And the horizon, the fields are white with harvest, and all we have to do is go out and pick it. So until we come at you next time, for the three of us, we'll bid you adieu, and I'll see you next time on our Life by Life West.
Thank you for joining us today and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.